Hey, you can flush an idol, but you don't have to flush good money down the drain. Check out the 12 days of deals going on now on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need this holiday season with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Or for our friends in Canada, it's robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with another double exit interview here for Millennials versus Gen X. We're going to be speaking with Will Wall and then Sunday Berquist here on the Exit Interview Podcast. Then Jordan Kalish is going to come on for the final This Week in Survivor History quiz of the season. Lots of fun with Steven last night on our know-it-alls. Really good stuff getting into the game. Steven was very frustrated with the strategy in last night's episodes. You can check that out on robhasawebsite.com. Of course, later on today, I have a really fun treat for both you guys and for myself. I'm going to be heading over to Casa Penner to speak with Penner in person about everything going on this season. Really looking forward to that. And then later on tonight, I'm going to be getting into your voicemails with Jordan Parhar. It's JP week here on the podcast, so looking forward to that. Get your voicemail calls into the show. We're going to be recording that around 10 p.m. Eastern, so lots of time to get your calls into the show. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. All that's coming up later on in the show. But first, we have our first exit interview of the day coming up, that we have our youngest survivor ever joining us on the exit interview. Will, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Very excited to talk to you. Just want to check in. I know that a lot of people probably were on your case about the last couple of weeks and how you were running the game. Everything going good on your end?
Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, it's all in good fun, you know? I'm a Survivor fan, too, so, like, I know what it's like to, you know, be ragging on the players and also to love some players. And yeah, I know it's all in good fun.
You knew what you were getting into.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, going back to last night, how big of a blindside was it for you to go home at that vote?
Part of me, like, when I was going into Tribal Council, I had this feeling in my gut that something was off. And I just, it's kind of like that instinct kicks in. And you're like, yeah, I think it might be me tonight. But before that, I felt great. All day, I felt great. I was chilling with Jay in the hammock. I thought we had a set plan. And it's part of that arrogance that just gets inside your head and eats away at you. And next thing you know, I'm blindsided. I'm getting sent home. And I should have done a million things differently in order to change that. But unfortunately, it didn't end up that way.
When you got voted out, you seemed so happy. You seemed like you had such a smile on your face. And as I watched the Ponderosa video, it looked like that continued through when you walked off. What was the happiness over? Was it relief? Was it just that you were just couldn't even believe that you got to this point? Could you tell me a little bit more about what you were thinking?
You know, when I was voted out, it kind of became real for me. This whole experience felt like a dream. And in that moment when I got voted out, it kind of hit me that I actually just played Survivor, this game that I had been watching for years and years. I actually got the chance to play it. And that's what blew my mind. And that's what really, it was like uncontrollable laughter. I just could not control it. And it continued out throughout Ponderosa because I was just so happy that I got to have this experience and actually play the game that I love.
Believe me, I understand. So going back to the vote against you, who do you feel like was the most responsible for turning against you at the final eight?
I think Adam. I think Adam did a great job going to Brent Sunday and getting them both to flip on me. And I thought I had Adam and Hannah too, and they both flipped on me as well. So I think Adam played a key role in that.
I think that there might have been a little bit of a disconnect between what we saw on the show and ultimately what you guys were going through with Adam and playing his idol at the Zeke vote to save Hannah. You mentioned a couple times during the episode that it was not necessary because you had already flipped against Zeke, making there be 5 votes for Zeke instead of 4 votes for Hannah and Adam playing his idol. So could you talk a little bit about what the reaction was back at camp to the idol play?
Yeah, I mean, some people thought that it was all Adam and that Adam, you know, played the idol. But then people started to realize that Adam didn't need to play the idol and that it was kind of a wasted idol and that it kind of got flushed out. And I think that also kind of ended up coming back to hurt me, because then people are like, oh, wow, Will flushed an idol, and it just put a bigger target on my back and made it even harder for me to come back from that. When we first got back to camp, Brett and Sunday didn't even know that I flipped. They thought that Adam played the idol, and that they actually had the numbers to get rid of Hannah before the idol play, and it was Adam who actually told them, like, hey, no, I wasted the idol, Will flipped. So it really was a lot of confusion and chaos right when we got back. But in the end, when people realized that the idol was wasted, it put a really big target on my back.
We've been talking a lot about your pendulum strategy over the last week or so, since we really got to see it in one of the secret scenes. What went wrong with the pendulum strategy?
It was too soon. I think the timing was way off. And I also think that I put way too much faith in Adam and Hannah, when really I should have been trusting Jay a lot more. I did not trust Jay nearly as much as I should have. And I think if I waited another week or two to really enact the pendulum strategy, then I might have been able to make it work to my advantage. Because the thing about Jay is that even every time that I blindsided him, he still came back to me and he still trusted me. And I could have used that to my advantage. I could have used that trust that Jay and I had. And then I think it might have actually worked, but I did it way too soon. I didn't keep Jay up to date. I didn't put my faith in him, Brett and Sunday. Rather, I put my faith in two people that I couldn't trust, Hannah and Adam.
Yeah, Jay's the only person that really had your back the whole way through at every vote. Even on the vote that you went home, he was still voting with you. Do you wish you would have stuck with him and then kept Zeke around another week?
Yeah, definitely. I think if I got rid of Zeke at Final 8 and worked with Jay to get rid of Zeke, I think that would have been a much better move to make. But what was going through my head was just that I needed to make a big move. And if I do it with Jay, then people are just going to give Jay the credit. And that was the big fear that I had, because I would look at that jury and I'd see the faces, like I'd see Taylor especially, would look at me as if I was a little kid. And they would look at me with sympathy rather than as a player in the game. And that's what really, that was the moment that I really started to get afraid for my life in the game. Time was running out and I knew I needed to switch the jury's opinion on me and make them think that I am a player and one to be reckoned with.
Now, you were willing to draw rocks back at the final 10, but then you drew rocks to save Zeke and then ultimately flipped to want to vote him out at the final 9. So could you just talk us through your thought process going through those two votes?
I never thought we were going to go to rocks. I never did. I looked over at Jessica especially, and then also Adam, and I thought one of them would flip. And if I thought that neither of them would flip, I would have flipped myself. I would not have tried to save Zeke in a rock. Like, I would not have thrown rocks for Zeke, Hannah, or anybody in the game. I was definitely willing to flip my vote, but I was convinced that Jessica was going to flip hers, and possibly even Adam. And I just never imagined actually going to rocks, and that was actually something that was going to occur in this season.
Did you think about flipping?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to flip on Zeke in a heartbeat. It really was just the reaction. I looked over at Jessica's face and I saw how torn up she was. And I saw like Hannah getting really nervous. And I'm like, Jessica's going to flip. And if it wasn't for that reaction, I would have flipped my vote. Jessica still would have been in the game and Zeke would have been out in Final 10.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And we had talked about that on the podcast with Shireen about this idea of, you know, people looking like they're going to be more confident. Maybe it gets somebody on the other side to flip. And so that's a fun thing to talk about in future podcasts down the road. So going back to last week's episode again. So you went to Ken to tell Ken about the plan, how you were going to vote with his side. But what you didn't know was that Ken was testing you, and that he needed to then go back and tell Jay to see if you passed the test or not. Did you have any idea that this was a test from Ken?
My whole relationship with Ken was a test. You know, I felt like I tried to build a relationship with him since the merge, and I felt like the entire time it was like an interview process, and I had to go through this application where every day I'd have to sit down with Ken and he would grill me on like trust questions and try to trip me up to make sure that I was a good ally. And I wanted the guy's vote because I thought it'd be useful down the line. And it got to the point where I finally got his trust. I passed the test, but yet no, there's one more test, and he ended up blowing up my entire game and betraying my trust in the process.
Yeah, you did not pass Ken's test, unfortunately.
No, apparently I failed, you know? Got a big F.
So, during the game, did you and Jay ever talk about that maybe it was too soon to vote out Michaela? Because I do feel like that you guys talked about with Michaela, this is the final four, and that it would have been a different ball game for the millennials had she been around post-merge.
For me, it's all about the idol. The moment that Michaela saw that Jay and I had the idol, I got terrified of her. I really wanted her out because I'm thinking to myself, we're going to get to the merge. Michaela's going to run back to everybody else and be like, hey, Will and Jay have an idol? And that's not good for me. That puts a target on both of our backs, you know? And I'm thinking to myself that I want to be the one to blow up Jay's idol at the end of the, like, once we get to the merge. And it really was the idol issue that led to me wanting Michaela out. I don't know what was running through Jay's mind, but that was the reason I wanted Michaela out of the game.
Will, going back to that tribal council where Michaela got voted out, you talked about a Tony Vlachos type player in the game, and we were always confused. Were you talking about that Michaela, you saw her as the Tony Vlachos type player, or were you saying ultimately that Tony was the type of player that you were aspiring to be in the game, as we saw later on with your desire for a pendulum strategy?
Maybe a little bit of both. I mean, definitely I aspire to be like Tony. I mean, he's from Jersey.
Well,
I'm from Jersey.
Right?
So I'm thinking of myself. Yeah, exactly. Everybody wants to be like Tony. It's a lot harder to play like Tony than it looks, though. What he did was amazing. But I also saw a lot of different things with Michaela. Michaela was this person who could come up with strategy and plan so far in advance. And she's just so intelligent that talking to her makes you feel dumb. You know, and it really, I was very intimidated by Michaela as a player in the game, because I thought if she got anywhere near the end, she would crush everybody physically, mentally. She would just destroy everybody in the game. And I really was terrified of Michaela as a player.
You know, a lot of times when I do these exit interviews with people and I ask them about how things were in Survivor or Big Brother, and people tell me, Rob, let me just tell you that this game was like high school. So I would like to know from you, is high school a good preparation for playing on one of these shows?
Yeah, I think I said in my Ponderosa video that Survivor's like high school on steroids. And yeah, I definitely feel like it is, in a way, good preparation, at least for the social aspect of the game. It definitely prepares you to play both sides, you know, and run the middle of the game and not really get involved in the drama and just worry about yourself and your own game. And it really did prepare me for that. But what it didn't prepare me for was the strategic aspect and the physical aspect down the road. The strategic aspect, I think, kind of came from me being a fan, but the physical aspect threw everything off. You know, when you're starving on an island for 30 some days, it really does get to you after a while.
I think when people talk about you and your game, I think the word people are going to keep coming back to is resume. Why was the resume for a Final Tribal Council such an important factor in how you were looking at the game?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the moment when I looked at the jury and I saw, you know, Taylor, Michelle, Chris, and people like that having these weird reactions to me when I would say something or do something. And it really made me think that I need a resume in order to convince them why to vote for me in the end. You know, I'm not just going to be able to get to the end and then they're going to be like, oh, here's $1 million. I need some big fancy move to get me that $1 million. And whether that's true or not, I guess we'll never really know. But it definitely was my perception when looking at the jury and when trying to figure out what's going through their minds.
Is that still how you look at the game? Like, what do you say to the future Survivor player who's listening to this interview, who's coming into the game, and how they should be looking at it as opposed to just thinking about a resume for the end of the game?
I would not play like the way that I play. I don't think I played the best game. I'm going to be honest with that. As a fan, I do not think that I played a great game. I think I played a very solid game in the beginning, but I feel like they made a lot of tactical errors down the road. And I would do a lot of things differently if I got a second chance. And I would tell a future player to basically lie low, know what's going on, and always be aware. Always perceive what the jury thinks. Always perceive what the other players think, because it doesn't matter how you perceive yourself or how the other players perceive you. It matters how you perceive the other players perceiving you. And I think you talked about this on a podcast or two, about how it's all about how you look at other people's perception of yourself. That's what matters in this game.
Okay, last thing before you have to go. Could you talk about what the reaction has been from your friends to see you go out there and be on Survivor?
Yeah, I think my friends have been blown away. Some of them are Survivor fans, and they're absolutely blown away. Even the ones that aren't have been watching this show and now realize that, oh, wow, I really like this show. I think I'm going to continue watching it even after in future seasons. So it really has been a great reaction from friends and family. Everybody's been supportive, so yeah.
All right, well, I hope we get a chance to see you next week at the finale. I know not at the after party, but hopefully we get a chance to see you at the taping next week. And all the best, Will. It was a lot of fun.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, take care, buddy.
Big fan, Rob.
All right.
Yep. See you. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Will Wall, really good job there on the exit interview. Covered a lot of ground, so I always appreciate that on the exit interview, and really good stuff from Will. All right, so before we get to our exit interview with Sunday, I've got a quick word about another podcast you can hear from Podcast One, and then we'll come back and do our exit interview with Sunday.
Okay, face it. You love to binge, you know, on good stuff like cookies, spicy chips, TV shows, and of course, podcasts. Well, that's exactly why Thrilling Tales, the podcast, releases every chapter of its amazing stories on Mondays. So you can binge on the whole thing. So if you need something else to binge on, or just something totally entertaining, get Thrilling Tales, the podcast now on the Podcast One app, iTunes, or at podcastone.com.
All right, you ready for more Thrilling Tales? Because we have another exit interview coming up. And let's speak with the second player who got voted out from this week's Survivor, Sunday Burquest. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, you got it right, Rob.
Sunday, yes. I aim to please.
I know you do. I appreciate it.
Anyway, Sunday, so really happy to talk to you. And, you know, obviously, I wish it was under better circumstances, but would love to get into some of the things that we don't know yet about your game. So could you start off with telling me why the vote for Jay at the Tribal Council where you went home last night?
That is a really good question, Rob. We actually had a plan. I had been talking with Hannah and Adam all day, and we wanted to flush out, obviously, Jay's idol and get David out. And to be honest, I've racked my brain trying to figure out how I ended up with Jay's name when we went in. But the goal was to flush the idol, and in case David played something, there'd at least be a vote for Jay.
So who did you feel like was in your alliance at the point you went out of the game then?
I felt like Brett and Jay was really all that I had left.
So why flush Jay's idol if that Jay is somebody who you're working with at that point?
Well, because I was kind of playing both sides. I was trying to play a little bit with Adam just in case I needed to. And I knew that Adam had already told Jay that he needed to play his idol. So if I'm saying to Adam, well, I'll do this for you, then if Jay goes home, I can say, Adam, I did that for you. And, you know, I'm just trying to play both sides as I go.
Who did you feel most betrayed by ultimately for going home? Was it Adam?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't shocking for me that Hannah would want to go for me. I mean, we'd had some difficult conversations already that day. And I had put my trust in Adam, and Adam had promised me to vote out David for a couple of different votes. And so I really thought that night he would stick to it. Mm-hmm. And, it just seemed like something changed after the last conversation I had with them, which were several that day. I was checking in. Is this what's going on? Are we still good? You know?
Sunday, one of the things that I think is just so interesting about this season and, you know, your relationship with Adam is that we saw him talk to Jay last night about how he has this secret that he hasn't told anybody about his mm-hmm. mom's cancer. And you also carried with you this secret the whole game about how you were a cancer survivor, which, you know, had sort of, you know, gotten lost on me throughout the course of the season. And mm-hmm. obviously you talked about it in your Ponderosa videos. Did you ever think about if you watching the season back, if maybe you might have shared that with Adam, would that have changed the relationship between the two of you?
Well, actually I did share it, and it just didn't make air. I, you know, in the immunity challenge early on, the ocean where we grabbed the key and jumped in the water.
Yeah.
That day was the anniversary day of the day I got diagnosed. And so it was a huge day for me that we won that challenge and that it was on that day because we had been keeping track of the days. And so I initially wasn't sure I was going to tell anybody, but I did tell my tribe that night, which was the Gen Xers. And then it was openly talked about, you know, throughout the game. So he did know. I just, you know, when you're talking to someone whose mom is going through this right now, I'm not going to overshadow his story by going back to mine 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew it and it was talked about. So it just didn't make the air for whatever reason.
Then with the way that it was talked about in the episode last night, Hannah said that, hey, they were looking to target Brett. And she said, no, Sunday is going to be a goat that's going to get dragged to the end. Did that make you mad to see that Hannah was talking about you in that way?
It did. And, but like I said, we had actually conversations already during the day where I already knew that she felt that way. I didn't know she felt that way about the vote. But she got, you know, she was feeling like she was doing pretty well in the game. So she had no problem telling me that she felt like I was at the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, I just wouldn't have seen that being a smart move when you're leading to other threats in the game to take me out.
How frustrating was it for you going back to the events of last week where it feels like coming out of that rock draw that you have a 5-person advantage and then Will wants to flip and go with the other side to improve his resume?
Oh, I wanted to wring his neck, Rob. You were so mad. I mean, because we had 5. It's just like, hang on a little bit. Just be patient. And after the vote, he comes to me and Brett, and he's like, you guys, no hard feelings. You know, I was just trying to make a move. No hard feelings? You just screwed us out. What are you talking about right now? You know, so immediately we wake up in the morning, and I'm like, we got to get Will, which was probably an emotional thing, but everyone else wanted to do it too, so it didn't matter, but we were so mad. I was so irritated.
What did you say to him to try to get him to come back to the fold?
During the vote?
Before the vote, ultimately.
Well, all day I'd been checking in with him. I had, you know, that whole thing blew up with Ken. And then I was like, Will, you know, we're still good, right? Yep, we're still good. We washed pans together. I checked with him 4 times. Literally, before he got up to vote, I looked back and I was like, okay, we're good, right? And he's like, yep. And then he went and voted. Week. So I felt confident all day. Obviously, I was wrong. But I had checked in with them and done my due diligence, I felt like, throughout the day.
Sunday, could you discuss a little bit of your role in the smoke screen that ultimately led to the 5-5 tie and the rock draw? Because as a viewer, you know, it was a little hard to tell what was going on. But obviously, you clearly say when Hannah asks you, what is the vote? Who are we voting for tonight? You tell her Ken. Then Adam says, hey, play the idol on Ken. That ultimately results in the rock draw. So how much of that was sort of the plan that you guys were working on, and what was your role in that?
Well, we had discussed the rock draw, that it was a possibility during the day. We hadn't specifically talked about throwing out a fake name. So what happened was when we were sitting there, I overheard David say to Adam, switch the vote to Sunday. I heard my name. And Adam tells it to Hannah. I look back at David and I'm like, did you just say my name? And he's like, no. And I go, yeah, you did. I heard you. He's like, okay, I did. And I was like, well, that's dumb, David. And so then they're all confused. And so I look over and Hannah's looking at me saying, what's the plan? And I felt like she thought I was dumb enough to tell her. That's what it felt like. Mm-hmm. And so it made me mad. So I looked down the room and I'm like, oh, who's not getting any vote? Ken. It's Ken. And then I just was surprised that they actually believed me.
Yeah.
Like, wow, they actually believed me. But I was, you know, then he wasted the idol, obviously. But I was mad at that point because I felt like, you know, Hannah and I had worked together previously and now I knew that we weren't working together. So I just thought, why? I knew I was writing your name down. Why are you asking me what the plan is right now? It was irritating to me.
Did you consider flipping your vote at all before going to Rox?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't, because it just got to the point where our heels were so dug in. And then before we voted the second time, Adam leans up to me and he says, if you switch your vote, I'll give you my reward advantage, which made me mad again, because I was like, okay, you think I'm going to do that? You know, I would flip on all these guys and go over there. Jess is still on the other side. Who knows what I'd get? I could be left with nobody. So it kind of was like, no, I'm not doing that, Adam. And I was like, I want to vote. I was mad.
So one of the things that really came up a lot this season was that you mm-hmm. wanted to vote out Jessica. And this was going back to everything from the beginning of the game all the way back to the Paul vote with the Gen mm-hmm. Xers. So what are we missing in terms of the rivalry between you and Jessica and the Gen Xers?
Well, here's the thing. It wasn't as bad as it was made out to be. It made it look like that was the only thing I was thinking about in strategy, but it really wasn't. And after the Paul vote, I took responsibility for it as well when I went and talked to Chris and Brett. We had major damage control to do, and I just felt like it didn't get worked out all the way between Jessica, Brett, and Chris, and I felt like I had to pick a side. And then when we went to the next vote, all day, I did not think we were voting for Jessica, and I was told literally minutes before we went to tribal that the votes were going to Jessica. I was under the understanding that there was enough votes, so whether I did or not wouldn't have mattered. So in my mind, I had to vote for her because I thought she was going, and if I didn't vote for her when I got back, I wouldn't have any alliance because I had to fix it with Brett and Chris. Then we go to the swap, so we really never had time to talk it through and fix it, and that was a regret on my part. I should have spent more time mending the fence with Jess, and that's a mistake that I made in the game.
And ultimately, you guys did mend fences from what we saw on the Ponderosa video. So that, and have you guys continued to have a good relationship since then?
Yeah, we talk here and there. I mean, it's really hard when you rewatch it because it kind of brings everything up.
Yeah.
But I feel like going forward, you know, it'll be fine.
Okay. Let me ask you a question from earlier in the game. And this was something we didn't get to see on the show, but I was always curious about. So on the vote where Michaela went home, obviously you and Brett felt like it was going to be one of the two of you and the millennials mm-hmm. were going to stick together. But by the time Michaela gets voted out, that you and Brett are voting with Jay and Will. Could you just talk a little bit about how that came to be? Did Jay and Will approach you guys with this idea? And did you think that they were lying?
Yes, they actually, what happened was they talked to Brett earlier in the day, and I didn't find out about this till later, and they didn't want to tell me because they were just too nervous about Michaela finding out. Well, then when Brett and I talked to each other and like, we're going to have to vote for each other, the three guys got nervous that if I voted for Brett, he would go home. So probably an hour before tribal, Brett and I are going to the well, and I think I'm going to say goodbye to him because, you know, we're going to leave. And Will comes running up to us, is like, hey, would you guys write down another name? And we're like, well, of course. And, you know, then he throws out Michaela's name. So that happened, you know, probably an hour before we left for tribal. But Brett actually knew about it earlier in the day.
We saw so much of the, you know, animosity or like the rivalry between you and Jess during the game. But I feel like we didn't see a lot of your relationship with David and Ken. Was there tension there between you and those two guys, or was it mostly that you thought that Jessica was the ringleader of those three?
I had good relationship with David and Ken. Jessica, it was just that whole like trust factor. And it was like that. I was nervous she was going to go for me, so I had to go for her first. And that stemmed from my poor choice earlier on. I had a good relationship with both David and Ken. And when we'd get back to camp, it would be like, good move, even though you worked against me, you know. And we would sit and talk. David and I talked often in the morning watching the sun come up, even with Brett. But I knew that he's very smart. And I knew he was making decisions and choices, even though he was telling us other things.
Obviously, you were very tight with Brett during the game. What was it about Brett that allowed you to have such a close bond with him?
Honestly, he reminded me a lot of my husband. He's very low-key, except when he's drinking, I guess. he's just fun to be around, and he reminded me of my husband. That was the biggest thing. And him and Chris together reminded me of my three brothers, and it was kind of like a comfort zone. But I came into the game, my strategy coming into the game was to align with alpha males and follow them, you know, into the merge, letting them be a target before I was. So I had set my sights on that before I got there.
So Sunday, such an incredible story of you that you beat breast cancer and then ultimately go out and play on Survivor. Is there anything that you might be able to share with any of our listeners who might be in the middle of a battle with cancer that might be helpful to them?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that, Rob. just don't give up. Don't give up. There's something positive that can come out of every single negative situation, no matter how hopeless it looks. And you never know what's around the corner. You could give up and the next day be given this great opportunity. So I would just say, keep fighting, stay positive, and don't give up.
All right, Sunday. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully we get to see you next week at the finale, and all the best and congrats on everything this season.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Take care, Sunday. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Sunday Burquest here on the podcast and some really great stuff from Sunday. Glad she shared all of that with us. And now switching gears, let's bring in a man who has been going through every single week, not just Sunday, all the days of the week in the history of Survivor to bring us this segment every week. It's the This Week in Survivor History Quiz with Jordan Kalish.
Hey, how are you, Rob?
Oh, very excited. And I can't believe it's the holidays. Survivor is almost over. Where did the year go, Jordan?
I don't know. It was a very interesting year, in Survivor. And we're going to be talking about some episodes in Survivor history. But it's a little sad, a little bittersweet, our last episode. But we'll pick it back up next season.
Okay. All right, Jordan. So let's get into it. Why don't we reset the standings for this week in Survivor History, the quiz? How did it go this season?
You've done very well. You lost the first week, but since then you have not lost. You've won every single week. I believe your record is it 11-1 at this point?
And if I go back to that first week, I feel like that the actual quiz was flawed. I feel like that we sort of like were able to fix some things that were wrong with the quiz.
I don't know. I think the quiz was fine. I think we hit on maybe a couple seasons or a couple questions that you weren't so familiar with. I don't think the quiz is
flawed. I think that there was like some really like obscure questions about like what words were said and things like that. It was broken and we fixed it.
What we could do, Rob, in a year, we can go back to those old questions and do it this week in Survivor History podcast and see if the questions were fair or not. I have them in my in my archives, but I don't exactly remember what the questions were. But I don't know why you're complaining, Rob. One loss. As a Jets fan, one loss is nothing.
No, it's
nothing.
As
a Mets fan, one loss is nothing. So I don't know why you're bringing up the one loss. You won every single week.
10 losses on Monday night. Yeah.
Yeah. You are following the Cowboys trajectory. But yes. It is December. And as we know, the Cowboys never play well in December.
Okay. All right. Well, don't go trolling the Cowboy fans on This Week in Survivor History, because we have to talk about the sponsor for this double exit interview podcast. Okay. And those are the fine makers of Movement watches. Jordan, I know it's the holidays and everybody is running around trying to find the perfect gift, but Movement watches can take away all of that gift giving anxiety with the press of a button. And I wish that I could just press one button and get rid of all of my anxieties, because these watches make a perfect purchase for anyone in your life, man or woman. Remember, they start at only $95.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. That would make a great Hanukkah gift.
Yes. Any night of Hanukkah.
Yep. I think it's kind of like a six-night gift.
Well, really, at $95, I mean, you could afford one every night of Hanukkah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. At just $95, I mean, if you went to a department store, forget it. You'd be paying $400 to $500 for a watch. Movement figured out by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and the retail markup for the best possible price with a classic design, quality construction, and stylized minimalism. There's so little of that right now. Everything is cluttered, like my Christmas tree.
Isn't that what the Vanaka tribe did? Didn't they cut out the middleman this week?
They always do. Yes, yes. Over 500,000 watches have been sold in over 160 countries. So get 15% off today, free shipping and free returns by going to Movement Watches. They spell it MVMTWatches.com/RHAP. The watch has a clean design. You'll get tons of compliments. Step up your watch game. Go to MVMTWatches.com/RHAP to join the movement. All right, Jordan.
Rob, I think MVMT is how Ken spells millennials, by the way.
The poetry of the language is that you spell it any way you want.
How great is that? The guy that's been so concerned about language is the one who spelled a word wrong in the puzzle and pulled the Dan Foley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jeff was right on it. That was right on it.
Ken is wrong.
Ken is wrong. Okay. Jordan, I hope that we won't play the Rob is wrong at any point in this podcast, because I don't think we have that clip. But go ahead and let's kick this off.
All right. We will see. So we are going to start here with Survivor Cook Islands. This is the episode called Arranging a Hit from December 7th, 2006, 10 years ago yesterday. And this is a very, very good episode to talk about this week, because you're about to go to Penner's house to record a podcast with him. And this is the episode where he got sent home.
Yes. Okay. Well, I won't remind him of that today when I go to his house.
Yeah, probably a good idea. But would you like to use your point doubler on the first question?
No.
All right. Question number one. Who cut their finger open with a machete at the beginning of this episode?
I wish I used it.
Was it A, Penner, B, Parvati, C, Sundra, D, Ozzy?
It was Parvati. And it's right before the challenge.
Yes, it is. It is Parvati. Congratulations. You are one for one. Yeah. And you should have used your point doubler. You seem to know that one very
quickly. I know.
So that was, very interesting episode. Parvati, you know, not the star of Survivor Cook Island. She did have some interesting moments, but she would become a Survivor Hall of Famer from there in her two subsequent seasons.
I believe her more interesting week will come the following week.
Yes, in the hot tub with Yul and Ozzy. Unfortunately, we won't have a quiz about that one, because we don't do this during the finale. Too many people to talk to.
Yes, I opined in the Evolution of Strategy, without that trip to the hot tub with Yul and Ozzy, that perhaps Parvati is not a Survivor Hall of Famer at this moment.
Yeah, I don't think she gets cast on the next season, because that's really her biggest moment from Cook Islands.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So you're one for one.
Question number two. Locked in today.
Yeah, and this is your the last Cook Islands questions. We only have two from that season today. Would you like to use the point doubler before I read the question?
Okay, sure.
All right, so this is a two-point question. Why does Penner start to suspect that he may be the one voted out? A, he sees Yul and Becky go into the woods with Adam and Parvati. B, Adam and Parvati seem too calm before tribal. C, people aren't speaking to Penner before tribal. D, Kelly Wentworth shows up and starts picking mold out of the rice.
Yeah, I wish I would have used a point doubler on the last one. Could you say the first couple again?
Yes. A, he sees Yul and Becky go into the woods with Adam and Parvati. B, Adam and Parvati seem too calm before tribal. C, people aren't speaking to Penner before tribal. D, Kelly Wentworth shows up and starts picking mold out of the rice.
I'll go with A. Seems pretty specific. The other things seem more vague, so I'll say A, but I don't have a lot of confidence.
Rob, unfortunately, you do not get the 2 points. The answer is C, people aren't speaking to him before tribal. And this is really a common theme throughout Survivor history, where when people stop talking to you, when something changes and you really feel that before tribal, it might be you going home that night.
Yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, yep. Jordan? Yeah.
So you're one for two. And that
why
was
why people wouldn't want to talk to Penner is beyond me, though.
No, he's a storyteller. It's what he does.
Yeah.
So poor Penner. Penner goes home here, and he did kind of see it coming. It's too bad he didn't have the idol in this season like he did in Philippines.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So where do you want to go now?
All right. We're going to Survivor Blood versus Water. This is the episode Russell Feathers, December 4th, 2013. And it's 3 years ago this past Sunday Berquist, who you just heard.
Okay.
All right. So the reason I really wanted to talk about this episode this season is fairly obvious. This is the last rock draw before the final 10 rock draw from this season. And question number three, you still have your 50-50, by the way, and you have 1 point. Who freaked out and started cracking up when Hayden tells everyone that Tyson will win the game 100% if he gets to the end? Was it A, Monica, B, Tyson himself, C, Jervis, D, Sierra?
I'll say Jervis.
You are correct. It was Jervis. This is the beginning of the episode right after the previous tribal council. And that's the tribal council where Caleb went home. And, you know, Hayden's trying to stir stuff up at camp because he knows there's a good chance that he could be the next one to go. And he's telling Jervis how he's the number two. The jury isn't going to respect him if he's sitting there with Tyson. And Jervis wants to hear nothing of it, because he feels that he's just as big of a part of the alliance as Tyson.
Hayden was right.
Aiden was right. Jervis does go to the end with Tyson, of course, does not get any votes. So you are, you're two for three. You have 2 points, and you need two more points to win the game. Three questions left. Question number four, which of these people does Sierra not share her idol clue with? And this is, of course, the clue that Laura gives her after winning the Redemption Island duel. Does she not share her idol with Tyson? A, Tyson, B, Katie, C, Monica, D, Jervis.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Yes. Which of these people does Sierra not share her idol clue with? A, Tyson, B, Katie, C, Monica, D, Jervis.
I wonder if it's... Let me use a 50-50.
All right. So I am going to take out Monica and Tyson.
Okay. I'm going to guess Katie, she doesn't share it with.
You are correct, Rob. She doesn't share it with Katie. And if you remember, this at the beginning of the episode, Sierra has a confessional where she says she's definitely not going to flip on her majority alliance. Of course, towards the end of the episode, she starts to realize that she maybe doesn't have the same standing in the game that she did originally. And she flips on the majority of Tyson, Monica, and Jervis. She does not share the idol with Katie. Tyson, actually, she shouldn't have shared the idol with Tyson because he finds it. It's just when
he's the big bad wolf.
Yeah, and he finds his he has his whole Rachel confessional. And he does do the crotch idol in this episode. After he finds it, he puts it in
bulge
his
idol.
In his underwear. Yes, the bulge idol.
Because people won't suspect a bulge there.
No one suspects the bulge, but Tyson was able to hide it in his crotch just like Adam Klein did this season.
Yes.
All right, okay. So you you have 3 points. You need one more point in order to win the game. Only two questions left.
Okay.
Number five, Will Wall, who just got voted out last night, has spoken a lot about building a winning resume this season. In this episode of Blood versus Water, who tells Sierra that she needs to build a resume in order to win? Is it A, Hayden, B, Monica, C, Jervis, D, Katie?
The only person who would make sense to say that would be Hayden. I'm not sure why anybody else would be telling her. I don't know if Katie really even knows the resume thing. So I'd say it has to be Hayden, right? That's the only thing that makes sense.
Rob, very well reasoned. You are correct. Hayden does make the case to Sierra before Tribal Council that she needs to build a resume in order to win. He makes I like to call it the Will Wall argument of resume building.
Well, that's interesting because I do feel like that's probably something that was from Big Brother. I wonder if Hayden has incepted Survivor with this resume stuff. This is a good research project for any of the listeners who are doing a rewatch. When is the first time that resume talk starts to come up on Survivor? Do we have a lot of talk about a resume before that point?
That is an interesting question. I don't know if that terminology was used before Hayden uses it here, and I didn't even realize that was a Big Brother thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to sort of like build a case for the Big Brother jury. Sure.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's always something you've needed to do in Survivor in order to win. You need to have a case to win in order to convince the jury that you should win, but I don't know if they've ever actually spelled it out before that this is my resume, this is what I did in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Like Nick Iadanza's students.
Well, my resume for this week in Survivor history is going to be sterling.
Yeah, it is going into next season. You've won the game, by the way. So you do finish 12-1. 12 win. Is that right? 12-1?
Wow. I think it was 13.
Is it 13-1? I don't know. We got to go back into the this week in Survivor
could
history.
Have been 14, I think.
No, I don't think it's 14. Come on. We haven't done 15 episodes of Survivor yet.
Okay.
I think it's 12-1. I believe that next step that this is the 13th.
I think
week.
There was the one week I had the week doubler.
There was no week doubler, obviously. That's your
you sure.
That's, yeah, that's your legacy advantage for next season. Okay. You have a week doubler. All right. So this is the last question. Last question of the season for this week in Survivor history. At Tribal Council, which two people make it clear to Sierra that she is number four in the majority alliance? Is it A, Tyson and Monica, B, Hayden and Katie, D, Monica and Jervis, sorry, C, Monica and Jervis, D, Russell and Ruffle Feathers?
Could you say the choices one more time?
Yes. Is it A, Tyson and Monica, B, Hayden and Katie, C, Monica and Jervis, D, Russell and Ruffle Feathers?
I mean, again, the only thing that makes it, I don't know why Jervis and Monica or Tyson would be trying to explain to Sierra why she's number four in their alliance. The only thing that makes sense here has to be Hayden and Katie.
And that is why I made it a choice, but you are incorrect. It's actually Monica and Jervis who make two really dumb comments at Tribal Council. Monica is talking about how Sierra is their fourth. And then when Jervis counts the people that are in their alliance, he points to himself and says one, Tyson two, Monica three, and points at Sierra and says four. And I think it's possible that she does make her decision at Tribal Council mm-hmm. based on some of the things that Monica and Jervis were saying. And I'm sure Tyson in his head were probably
so
like,
if I go
doing?
Back and I watch the Tribal Council that Hayden and Katie aren't telling her she's number four with them.
Well, they're the two people who make it clear. Of course, they do make the case that Sierra is going to be number four in their alliance.
This is a really poorly worded question.
But the two people who make it clear to Sierra, who changes her opinion that she shouldn't vote with them anymore, are Monica and Jervis themselves.
Very subjective. I'm going to file this week under protest. It's a shame that we have to end the season on a note like this. Sad, really. Sad.
We'll poll the patrons. We'll see what they think about it.
But weigh in the comments.
We'll see.
Yes. Okay. All right.
So you end on a sour note, but you did win the game, which is really the most important thing. So Rob, you have a 12-1 record.
Yes. And I don't end on a sour note. This whole quiz ends on a sour note.
I don't know. I think when you say which two people make it clear to Sierra, so the people who made it clear were the ones who made her change her decision, and that was Monica and Jervis.
I don't know. I don't know how anybody can not side with me on this one.
We'll see. hashtag Rob is right. Hashtag Jordan is right.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Prepare to be inundated with a tweet storm like you've never seen before, Jordan.
We'll see. So you're thinking that hashtag Rob is right is going to be trending this week.
Probably. I think that Jordan Kalish exposed party is going to be trending by the end of the day.
Well, we'll see about this. I hope not. I sure hope not. But I think it's a fair question, but we will see. But Rob, I got to say, a lot of fun asking you these questions this season. Really fun seeing all the people tweeting either hashtag I beat Rob or hashtag Rob beat me. A lot of hashtag Rob tied me. So it's really fun to see that a lot of the patrons are playing along. And thanks to the people who've sent me the listener submitted questions as well.
Okay. All right. Well, great stuff. Thanks for all your hard work this season, Jordan. And we'll talk to you again soon. Follow Jordan on Twitter at Jordan Kalish. And be sure to tweet him that Rob was right.
All right. Talk to you next
season.
Take care,
Jordan. Bye. Okay. All right, everybody, there you have it. Jordan Kalish this week in Survivor history. And that's going to do it for the exit interviews here today and the last regular exit interviews of the season. Next week, I'm going to be out at the finale. I'm going to go there in person this time around. And so I will do exit interviews on the red carpet with the final six. So be on the lookout for video and audio of those interviews. So I'm not going to do phoners with the final six. I'm going to go see them in person. So that's going to be all coming up 1 week from now. So looking forward to that. Of course, Penner interview coming up later on today. Voicemails with Jordan Parhar. Speaking of Big Brother, the LFC got together, all four of them, Brent, Alex, Taryn, and our newest LFC member, Melissa, talked about for the final time BBOTT on a podcast last night. If you want to check that out on robhasawebsite.com, get your voicemails in for Jordan, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And otherwise, I'm looking forward to reading your comments on robhasawebsite.com. You could always subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. And of course, as I mentioned at the top of the show, really do appreciate you guys shopping with our links for amazon.com. Lots of great deals going on there. If you want to check that out, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Have a good one, everybody. Talk to you again soon.